Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tennell, for today, Sunday, March 13th. Welcome to the show, everyone. Hope everyone is having a great weekend. Tonight, we are speaking about Korean beauty, and if you have any questions for us tonight, please give us a call at 914-803-4399. Again, the number is 914-803-4399. And that number also goes for those of you who may have comments as well. Okay, and I did see one of our guests that was on and her call dropped. So I'm going to wait for her to call back in, but I'm going to turn it over to my sister Denise.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. My good news is short tonight, but I wanted to... We spoke a little bit last week about the Premier Day Spa, so this week, as promised, I wanted to just go over a couple of the makeup education, some of the makeup education that's going to be at the show this June 4th through 6th in Orlando, Florida. And the classes that I'm listing now are all paid classes, so if you're interested in any of them, you can go to premierdayspa.biz to get more information on the classes in the show, as well as you can call 800-335-7469. Again, that's 800-335-7469, or you can go to the website, premierdayspa.biz. Okay, we have Edgar Renee Aesthetic Education and Consulting Group, and that's more on the skincare side, but they have a class, Understanding Electrotherapy and Advanced Skincare Treatments. EBJ Luxury Lash and Brow Bar. They have a class, How to Create Fuller Eyebrows by Applying Strand-by-Strand Eyebrow Extensions. Biotech USA has a class, Corrective Skin Care with Natural Actives for All Skin Types and Skin Comfort. Biotech USA also has a class, Novel Concept for Facial Rejuvenation with Neuromodulators and Biomimic Peptides. Then we also have Threading and Glamour, Threading and Tinting 101. The California Makeup Academy is offering The World of Color, Create Savvy Makeup Using the Right Colors. Kara Cosmetics International has Flawless Foundations, Creating Flawless Complexions with the Magic of Airbrushing. That should be a good class. And we have California Makeup Academy again, the newest bridal looks. And most of these classes are anywhere from $175 or, you know, $100 to maybe like $450, depending on how early you purchase your tickets. Eva Lash Beauty is offering a class, Create Eva Lash Perfect 3D Brows Using Sculpt Gel and Extensions. James Wealthy Systems, Mastering Facial Threading and Eyelashes. Eva Lash Beauty also is offering how to apply volume lash extensions using speed tricks. And that's just a little bit of the makeup education. And next week I will go through some of the skincare education. And being that tonight is all about Korean beauty, I wanted to do something a little different and just kind of list a few of the Korean beauty brands. So if you've never seen any of the brands before, or maybe you've seen some of the brands in Sephora, but that you didn't quite know they were Korean beauty brands, I just wanted to read off some of the brands. One of the most popular would be Dr. Jart. There's Touch and Soul. There's Tony Moly. The Face Shop. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing this correctly, but Laneige. Three Concept Eyes. Holika Holika. Maison. Skin Food. Misha. And Vanilla. Those are some of the K-beauty brands out there. And a really good source for some of these products, if you don't know where to buy some of these products, it's definitely Amazon. You can go to Amazon, and you can also go to SokoGlam.com. That's S-O-K-O, glam.com. And for those of you, if you're not only interested in Korean beauty, but you're just interested in skincare, tips and tricks on how to take care of your skin, how you can look younger, how you can feel younger without actually going through surgery and different procedures. Coming up on April 10th, we will be speaking with Anthony Yun, MD. He's coming out with a new book in the month of April called The Age Fix, and he's been seen on The Doctors, and we will speak with him about skin. So if you have any questions on your skin, on plastic surgery, on how to get rid of dark spots, you name it, you can ask him on April 10th. So please bring all of your questions and join us on that show. It's going to be a really good show. Again, the name of his book is called The Age Fix. So we're going to talk all about his book and all about how we can treat our skin.
All right, sounds good. That's going to be a great show. Interesting show. It's always good when we are talking skincare. So speaking of skincare, I'm excited because sometime last year I was in Barnes & Noble and I came across this book, Korean Beauty Secrets, A Practical Guide to Cutting-Edge Skincare and Makeup. And, you know, when you walk in different stores, like especially like Sephora, you would see all of this, all these advertisements and things about Korean beauty and Korean skincare. And so I thought it would be great to bring the authors on tonight just to share with us, you know, what this trend is all about. And maybe we can learn a couple of secrets and a couple of tips to help us out as well. All right, so I'm going to bring Carrie Thompson and Coco Park on the line. Let's see. Hi, ladies.
Hello.
How are you?
I am fantastic.
Same, great. Same. Good, good.
Well, it's great to have the both of you here on the line with us tonight. Thank you for accepting the invitation.
Thank you so much for inviting us.
Yeah, we're really happy to be on.
Absolutely. We're excited, and this is a thick book. So I have a lot of questions. I guess first, maybe both of you can start off telling us a little bit about yourselves, introducing yourselves to our audience, and telling us about where your love for skincare came from.
Sure. I'm Carrie Thompson. And I have a blog called Skin and Tonic. But my love of skincare started long before that. It started when I was very young, like probably around, I would say 6 or 7. And I used to get little skincare and makeup samples left over from my mother's Avon orders, and I would hoard them. I had a big shoe box where I stashed them under my bed.
Love those.
Yeah, they were great. And they had these little miniature lipsticks.
Mm-hmm. Yes, love them.
um, And then, you know, when I was around 11, my mother brought me my first moisturizer. It was some sort of drugstore L'Oreal moisturizer, but it really kind of drove home the point that it was important. And for us, it was just another thing that we did at the same time we went out and bought deodorant. It was just sort of like a rite of passage coming of age. Now you wear moisturizer. But I loved it. I was into it. I also have an aunt that was a former model, and she showed me how to put on makeup when I was a teenager. I was really into that heavy black eyeliner look, and I still am today. But I would say that between those two, that's where the root of my obsession began.
Okay, I'm Coco Park, and I have a blog called The Beauty Wolf. And I've always, always, always been into makeup and skincare. I actually have a background. I'm a licensed esthetician, and I was a professional makeup artist for many years. And then what got me specifically into Korean beauty was I married into it. My husband is Korean-American, so I kind of, like, picked it up through osmosis.
Nice. Nice, that's nice. Well, let's talk a little bit or get into a little bit just to start the conversation off. What's this Korean beauty trend all about? Why are we just now learning about this?
Well, that's a great question. You know, and I think that the Korean beauty industry itself is, in its modern incarnation, is still fairly youngish. You know, with all these mass market brands, have come about in the past 10, 15 years, most of them. And then this whole idea of the multi-step layering skincare, in terms of it being, you know, broadly accepted, even in South Korea, it's still only in its infancy. But it came over here now, I think, because they were doing really interesting stuff. And for a long time, even the Western brands were borrowing ideas from the South Korean market. And when that started happening, it was really only a matter of time before those trends made their way directly to us. And I think that's what we're seeing happen now. And there's some other influences that are responsible for it being so, you know, widely embraced by people. And it has a lot to do with just an overall interest in Korean culture right now. K-dramas are really big. K-pop bands are really big. And so I think that for at least part of the market, K-beauty is sort of part of that interest in Korean culture that we're seeing right now.
What, or not what, but how is it different from what most people here in the United States are doing as far as skincare is concerned?
As far as skincare is concerned, the way it's different is that there's a huge focus on hydration. And I'm not talking about just, you know, that emollient thick cream. I'm talking about water in the skin. And it's achieved by a process of layering products. And so the layering of the products and the number of products used is a big differentiator as well. And then lastly, there's a larger emphasis on skin or sun protection. So sun protection is not necessarily a high priority here. I think it's something that people slap on as an afterthought, or people just buy a moisturizer that has sunscreen in it and hope for the best and just assume they're protected. And that's not necessarily, you know, always the case. And I think in Korea and, you know, lots of Asian countries in general, you know, sunscreen, wearing a separate sunscreen is just, that's standard. That's what you do.
Right. So let me ask this question. So is Korean beauty more so about the layering of the products, which I'm assuming, or is it more so about the actual Korean products themselves?
You know, that's an interesting question. I think that both of those things, I would give them equal weight. The layering is the thing that I think people are familiar with whenever they see it. That's what springs to mind. And it certainly is a large part of it. But the products themselves are a little bit different too, mostly because the cosmetics market there is a little bit different than the way it is here. You know, they tend to come out with these new, interesting products more often. They're on these really rapid development cycles, and they don't have a lot of the same hindrances that cosmetic companies in the West have whenever it comes to new product releases. So they come, they're always coming out with new inventive things. It's a highly competitive market. You see things come and go really quickly, and the things that stay are things that were embraced in a really tough competitive environment. And as a result, many, not all, but many of the products you see, you know, tend to be, they tend to be a little bit better for the price point than you would see here because people have to make a good product in order to keep up.
Right. That's interesting. And when you're using products or when you're layering on these products, are all of the products coming from, is it important that all of the products come from the same particular brand, or are you kind of mixing things from other brands? How does that work?
Oh, no. Like my routine has something from like 10 different brands. Like, it's very rare that I'll use even two products from the same brand. There's just so much variety out there, and there's so many things to choose from. And you can address specific problematic things in Korean beauty, like with the lines. Like, it's not just an all-in-one overall treatment. Like, let's say one product targets redness, one product targets hydration, one product targets, like, dilated pores. And so you can kind of pick and choose anything you would like from whatever brand.
Now, that was Coco speaking, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Let me ask you, because you said in your routine, you know, you can have products from 10 different brands. So, of course, you all have heard of the Korean 10-step skincare routine, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So can you all take us through that 10-step process?
We can. It's not always 10 steps, though. I think we see that a lot here, and I think it's part of, you know, it's part of the narrative that you kind of see in the West, and I think it's a fun idea. But
all of those products you're not using every day.
Yeah, you may not be, and some people might have more steps. I am a freak, and I have probably, you know, anywhere from 12 to 13 steps in my routine because I like putting things on my face. But, you know, but you can get a really effective routine in as few as 4 or 5 steps, you know, if you're more of a minimalist or you're more likely, you know, to stick with it if it has fewer steps. But the main thing that you want is you want to do a double cleanse if you wear makeup at night. You're going to have your first cleanse is going to remove your makeup, and your second cleanse is going to clean the dirt from your face. If you just do a single cleanse, a long time ago, somebody told me that was like taking a shower with your clothes on, and I've never not double cleansed since then. And it really does just make a really huge difference in your overall skin health, and especially if you're acne prone like I am. So after your double cleanse, you want a hydrating toner, and this can also be what's called a first essence type of toner. And basically what it is it's the consistency of a toner, but it's not what you think of as a Western toner. It's, you know, in the West, when we tone, we're trying to clean more. They tend to be alcohol heavy. But Korean toners really serve more of like a hydrating stuff. It's back to that getting water into the skin.
So water-based.
Exactly. And then after your water-based toner, you want to get into either your serums or essences. You know, those are the things that have all the antioxidant power and also usually have some sort of targeted, you know, treatment. So, you know, a lot of your serums will be specifically targeted towards treating acne or treating redness or lightening dark spots. And you can layer more than one essence. So if you have more than one skin concern, you're probably using more than one essence. And people like me who have a ton of steps in their routine, a lot of times those steps proliferate because you have multiple essences or multiple serums going on. And then after your essences and serums, You might get into your either your face oil, you know, some sort of a beauty oil, or you can use an emulsion, which is like a lighter moisturizer. It's, you know, not a cream. It's more of a silky lotion.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of people, especially those with oily skin, they might stop there. That might be their last, you know, moisture step before their sunscreen. But, you know, if you tend to be drier, or if you have dehydrated skin that you're trying to treat and get through, you might go on to a heavier cream. And you may even go on to having some sort of an overnight mask, a sleeping pack, they call it. And that's something that really is akin to a night cream, but it's sort of a heavy-duty moisture treatment that often has additional skincare benefits that you're putting on last after all of your skincare at night. And in the daytime, instead of an overnight mask, you would do a sunscreen and then start applying your makeup.
And speaking of sunscreen, the only thing I want to add to that is you should double cleanse if you're wearing a sunscreen as well, even if you're not wearing makeup, because there's no way you can effectively remove all that without a double cleanse.
That's very true. Yeah. And then you have your...
I was just repeating what you said. Double cleanse if you're wearing sunscreen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So with that initial cleanse, you're talking maybe like an oil cleanser to remove all the makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay.
Makeup
and sunscreen.
Yeah, an oil cleanser, a cleansing balm, and even sometimes you can find cream cleansers, which I like a lot, especially if you have dry skin. A cream cleanser is a great option for makeup removal. They're not as popular, though, but I like to talk about them just because I think they're a bit of an unsung hero.
Yeah.
And then outside of your standard routine, your cleansing, your moisturizing, you, of course, have occasional treatments. I think that sheet masks have taken off here like crazy,
mm-hmm.
for good reason.
Yeah.
It's like an instant hydration boost,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the results are really instant. They're really fantastic. If you travel a lot, airplanes are really drying. I always do a sheet mask before and after I get on a plane. Sheet masks are really great in general if you are just a dry person and frequently need that hydration boost. Some people sheet mask every day. I've talked to people who sheet mask a couple of times a day. I personally only do it a couple of times a week. But, you know, they're a nice way to let yourself relax for 20 minutes. And then when you're done, you have really plump, hydrated skin.
Have you ever done it while on the plane?
Oh, yeah. I don't care. I'll do it on the plane. They can look at me like I'm crazy. I do not want that nasty plane air. I'll do it on the plane. I'll slap on an eye patch as well. I don't care. They can look.
Question for you. So my sister and I work on a television show, and a lot of the actresses on this particular show have very oily skin. And I'm looking in your book where you talk about, you know, your morning routine layering examples. And
yes.
Excuse me, I'm looking at the advanced oily combination skin, and you have 8 steps here. You cleanse, low pH toner, BHA serum, vitamin C, hydrating toner, essence, you know, you have your oil, and then your sunscreen. Now, I'm wondering, is there any way in any of those steps, could I add an extra step to do something for controlling the oil?
You could, but you probably wouldn't necessarily have to if you
mm-hmm.
were using products that were designed to treat your oily skin. So, for example, you know, mm-hmm. some of those hydrating essences and some of the moisturizers are, you know,
mm-hmm.
specifically designed for oily skin, so they're adding water without adding additional oil.
Right.
And then sometimes you'll see a lot in the toner lineups, too. They'll have toners that are made for oily skin And they actually do tend to be a little more astringent than your typical Korean hydrating toner. They're not super astringent like a Western toner, but they do help mm-hmm. with oil control without damaging your moisture barrier. But in terms of adding an additional product, I think that, you know, that would probably start, you would start moving into more your makeup bases that you were applying. And there's a lot of oil control makeup bases out there. And so if you still were feeling oily after you got through your routine, I think that the makeup base you choose is probably where it's at.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Makes lots of sense. So let's talk a little bit about these products, because I've heard you say Western products and you're talking about the Korean products. Both of you, let us know a little bit about some of your favorite Korean skincare and beauty products. Let's start with that first.
So right now, I have a lot of new favorites recently. So I have a Blossoms Jeju toner. It's actually made by a company that I think is actually called Blossom Jeju, but it's extremely moisturizing. I have a dry skin type, and I will take all the hydration that I can get. The particular toner that I'm using is from the Gold line. They have two lines. They have a pink line. They have a gold line. The gold line is for drier, more mature skin, and that is me. But I absolutely love it. It smells like heaven. It's extremely moisturizing. It's super, it's just really rich in its moisture without being heavy. And then after that, I go straight for Good All Moisture Barrier Liquid. And this is one that I had sitting around for months. And when I opened it, I was immediately angry that I hadn't opened it sooner just because it was so nice. But that was sort of like a... No, I don't even know what kind of product I would call it. It's like not quite a serum, not quite a lotion, but it's clear, but it's got sort of a thick, sort of hyaluronic acid-like consistency. But it also has, you know, niacinamide and some other antioxidants in there, and it's just it's really nice. And I've been using it immediately after the toner recently. And then there's also, let's see here, I still love this Sulwhasoo Overnight Revitalizing Mask. That's one of my all-time favorites, my favorite sleeping pack. And then there is a sunscreen, a Good All product actually, and it's called Mild Protect Natural Filter Sun Cream. And it's SPF 50, and it's an all-physical sunscreen. So if you have a chemical sunscreen sensitivity, this is a great one to use. But the physical sunscreen filters that are in it are so small that I can use it without having to worry about looking like I have on my makeup. it doesn't leave behind a white, ghosty white cast. Yeah, and I think those are probably at the top of my list right now for favorites.
And mine, I kind of gravitate towards Korean cosmetics because I feel they kind of get the short end of the stick sometimes. So I'd like to talk about some of my favorites. There's this product by Peripera, and it's called Holy Deep Jewel Pot. And I don't know if you're familiar with MAC Loose Pigments. Do you remember those? It's like like a MAC Loose Pigment, but imagine it having no fallout. Like you never have to worry about fallout, like glitter everywhere. This stuff is so sparkly. It's so pretty, and it just stays in place. And I'm amazed at this formulation, and I can't love it enough. Like, I love it. And then, let's see. I really like the Club Clio Virgin Kiss Lip Manicure. And that's like...
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah. It's like a lipstick, and it's in like a liquid lipstick form, but it dries to a matte finish. And it's so tenacious. It does not come off. Like, I've eaten like 5 fried chicken legs and it just stayed on my lips. Like, it was just amazing. I love this stuff. And somehow it doesn't dry out your lips. Like, I don't know how they do it. It's like a miracle product. I don't know. And then I really like the Tony Moly Backstage Gel Liner, which is like MAC Fluid Line on steroids. Like, this stuff also is so tenacious. It's so waterproof. It's so creamy. It's so smooth. I've never found anything better than that. And then for skincare, There's so much. Honestly, it changes every week. I have a new favorite every week. There's always something new coming out, but there's always old favorites that I love. There's a really low price point sheet mask. It's called the Claire's Rich Moist Soothing Sheet Mask, and they're only about $1 each. And they're just a really simple formulation. Dry skin could use them. Oily skin could use them. It's just a really simple, good mask.
Yeah, that one is a good one.
Mm-hmm. Now, where do you all buy your Korean beauty products?
All over the place on the internet.
Yeah.
I do order from Amazon sometimes, especially for things that I go through really quickly. Mm-hmm. I order a lot of sunscreen on Amazon. I order it like crazy, and sometimes there'll be days when you'll see crazy price drops, and I'll fill my cart up with it and then keep it for a while. I also shop on WTube Beauty, which is Korea-based, and I like that site because of the selection.
You said it's called W2 Beauty?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I like that site because they have a pretty wide selection of brands. And I think that if you're looking for, like, a really new release or if you're looking for something that's just not carried in other stores, I can usually find it there. It tends to be a little pricier, so I don't go there for my staples very much. I usually just go there for things that are new that I can't get elsewhere. But it's pretty great in terms of just seeing the range of things that are available. And then, you know, I also do a lot of ordering from some of the U.S.-based online shops. I get all my Blossom Jiju from Glow Recipe. And then there's actually a place called, I think it's called Skin Milk Bar. I just recently started using them because I started carrying my favorite body wash, which is by a company called Illy, I-L-L-I.
Oh, yes, that body wash is amazing.
And that body wash. I never thought I would be excited about a body wash. And then Coco made me try the Illy while I was visiting her last time. And I immediately bought an insane amount of it. And I just only recently had to refill my stash, and I bought it from Skin Milk Bar because they were having a sale and there was a really good price on it. But it was great. I had a great experience from them. They're small, they're newest, and I ordered from them, and I think I have my stuff in North Carolina to me like 2 days later. So I will definitely be back there.
That's from some of the U.S.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. W2 Beauty, it takes a little bit longer. You can pay a little more and get expedited shipping, and that's crazy. The expedited shipping is insane because you'll order it and it'll be there 2 days later. Which,
oh, wow.
To me, it just, like, I have a hard time fathoming it, like, how quickly that happens. But, you know, but regular shipping is the part of the culture of Korean beauty lovers here is, the anticipation of waiting for your packages.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's kind of part of the buying experience.
Oh, gosh. That's funny. So let me ask you. So you all sound like you have it down and you've been doing it for a while. How someone like myself and others who are listening, how do we build a Korean skincare routine?
That is a great question.
I hate to plug the book, but I would say get our book first.
That might help.
Really good place
I think
to
it would
start.
Help.
Yes. and the book is especially going to be helpful for things like, you know, determining your skin type and what your skin concerns are. You know, and I know that, you know, you guys are kind of beauty experts, so you probably have vocabulary already to know what you're looking at. You know that you're looking for oily or dry, or you know that, you know, a skin concern might be like having hyperpigmentation or acne.
Mm-hmm.
But someone who's totally new about it that doesn't have that vocabulary, so they don't know how to, you know, verbalize what their skin concerns are or even think about them, I think having the book would help immensely because it goes through all of the different skin concerns that you could possibly have and all the different skin types.
Mm-hmm.
And so that goes a long way in helping you determine that. But that's step one, is figuring out what those things are. You've got to know what your skin type is, and you have to know what you're trying to treat, because otherwise you're just sort of blindly slapping liquids on your face and hoping for the best. And I do not recommend that as a strategy. go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say that's important, knowing your skin type, because when you start choosing products, then you have to know which ingredients, you need to treat your particular skin type.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Yes. That's so important. And especially when you start getting into concerns, you know, there's ingredients out there that treat those things, the most common concerns that you have. And so it is possible to actually buy, you know, products, Korean products or really any products at all, that, you know, when you know what you're looking for and you know you're looking for those ingredients, you can look at something and say, okay, there's a good chance this might work for me. So it's really just nice to have that knowledge going in. But once you've done that, once you've figured out, you know, what it is that your skin needs, you know, the best next step is to start looking for products. And what I would personally do if I was just starting out and starting over is I would go to a few of the different retail sites and just make a list of the products that look interesting to you, and look at a few different products in each category. So, you know, you want to look at, you know, a few different hydrating toners, look at a few different essences, and look at a few different moisturizers and sunscreens, and then start looking up reviews for those things.
Yes, bloggers will be your canary in the coal mine.
Like, they will.
They've taken all the dangerous hits, and they've tried everything out, so go to them for that wisdom so you don't have to suffer through what could potentially be a bad product.
Yeah,
and
beauty bloggers are dedicated. They're all obsessive. I think you kind of have to be to get this far down the rabbit hole. So it's an extremely informative community. And then once you've sort of done your research and you've been able to kind of whittle down your list, you know, maybe you've gone out there, you found your skin twin, and you know they have stuff that works for them and it matches up with the stuff on your list. You want to buy a few products. Recommend resisting the temptation to buy all the things. And I say this as someone, one of many, who has succumbed to buying all the things, because I was so excited when I first started. I hauled like a mofo. and, you know, it's not the best idea, one, because you're spending a lot of money and a lot of those products may end up not working for you, but two, it makes it harder to resist the temptation to just start slapping all the products on your face at once, which is also a terrible idea. You know, once you have your products in hand, I would highly recommend starting slow, introducing one product at a time and trying to space them out at least a week apart. And the reason for that is that if you have sort of a negative reaction and you've started three products at once, you don't know which one of those products started the negative reaction. And then the flip side of that is if your skin suddenly looks great, you don't know which one of those three products made your skin look great. So staggering, you know, the introduction of those new products by a week kind of helps with that. I would say, you know, buy those things, whittle down your list, make your purchases, get them in, introduce them slowly 1 week at a time. And then once you kind of feel like you have the routine down, you can start experimenting and branching out. You know, I like to experiment most with essences, especially since as I treat one skin concern, sometimes I'll move on to something else. You know, when I first started with K-Beauty, I was still, you know, dealing with a lot of acne, for example. And now that I have that under control, I can kind of branch out and, you know, experiment with other things. And now I'm just really chasing maximum glow now. So most of the products I buy now are kind of focused around that concept.
And my advice would be to please stick with it. I know a lot of people who have said things like, you know, well, I tried this product for like a week and it just didn't do anything. Like, please stick with it. Like, skincare is exactly like going to the gym. Like, you're not going to see the results unless you're dedicated to it. You put the work in. Just do the work, and I promise you will see the results.
Yeah, absolutely. That's such a good analogy.
Well, ladies, you all have been doing the work. You've been buying the products. You've been using the products. Now that you've been using it and you've been talking about it and you wrote a book, tell me a little bit about why you really love Korean beauty. Now that you've experienced it and now you're writing about it, why do you love it?
I love how transformative it's been for me. Like I said, I have a background in aesthetics. I was a makeup artist forever, and I've never had the kind of transformative results that I have had from Korean beauty from any other kind of beauty. Like, it's just, it's been amazing, and I'm very mad at these 20-year-olds coming up now who get to come up with this, because I'm so mad at all the wasted time I had of the trash skincare, and I wish I would have had this all along. Like, I'm just hooked, and I'm so impressed by the innovation and the fast turnaround and how far ahead they are than us on skincare. They're like an estimated 10 to 15 years ahead of us in terms of innovation, and I'm just so impressed by that, and it's been amazing. I can't see myself ever giving it up.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think for me, I agree with Coco, it has been transformative, but I think it made skincare really fun. As someone who was already obsessed with skincare, there were still times when it felt, I'm going to say, prescriptive, and sometimes, the skincare, market where you live can feel a little stale. And I think especially here, a lot of the products are positioned, even the good ones, are positioned more as personal hygiene products rather than beauty products.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's a big difference between beauty and personal hygiene in terms of how you feel about it, To me, brushing my teeth is not fun, although I would love for somebody to make it fun. And if there's some part of the world that's figured out a super fun dental routine that they'd like to bring to the U.S., please do it, because I'd be all over that. But Korean skincare made me look forward, to doing my skincare routine every day. It's always changing. It's always something new, and I always have some goal that I'm chasing, sort of like Coco's analogy being at the gym. It's like, you've buffed up your arms and, now you want like a really smoking behind. I feel like my skincare routine tends to be like that. It's like I've mastered this one part of my face and now I'm going to go after this other thing. I'm actually able to get there. I know that if I stick with it and I keep going, I'm going to see that result. I feel like once you're in it, once you're that far in it and you've seen the results and you've experienced it, I think it's really hard to ever step back from it.
Right. Absolutely. And what is your overall goal with your book? What do you want people to know about Korean beauty? I mean, I know you pretty much explain everything, but is it what do you want people
to
know?
We really wanted people to know how accessible it is. It's not this scary, like, mystical thing. Like, it's extremely accessible for anyone who's interested in it. And we really wanted to demystify it and just let everyone know it's for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how are people responding to it, to your book?
I think for the most part, the response has been pretty positive. I've gotten a fair number of emails since the book has come out, and some people who emailed me through my blog, but didn't previously know my blog before the book came out, they've gone on to be interested in other blogs. They'll write me and tell me, about how their skin has changed, or they'll just write me because they're excited about their new routine. And that has been really amazing. I like hearing that from people. I still think that there's probably a lot of people out there that actually are probably a little put off by the whole idea of a 10-step routine and don't
mm-hmm.
realize that how customizable it is or that it doesn't have to be 10 steps. And so that's another takeaway I would like people to have is that, you know, when it comes down to it, your skincare routine is about you and what you enjoy doing and what you'll be consistent with. Because being consistent with something is way more important than having a ton of steps. And, you know, 10, 12, 13-step skin routines are not for everyone. But it
right.
doesn't have to be like that. It can be you can have a 4 or 5-step routine and still see great results.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, one thing we didn't talk about tonight that I remember seeing in your book, you guys talk a lot about ingredients and things
yeah.
like that. Are there any specific ingredients that's specific to Korean beauty that we should be looking for and when we're going out looking for these products?
Well, there's some really fun ingredients that I think are specific to Korean beauty. You know, and I think that's a big part of the allure for at least a large part of the community is just seeing what new ingredients are going to come out. But, you know, you can see a lot of interesting things. Snail slime is actually one of the more popular ones here.
Mm-hmm.
It's been, you know, and that really exploded in Korea years ago, but it's still around. It's held its own over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
donkey milk
is a good one. Yeah. And then fermented ingredients are the big trend right now. And I think that of the, you know, the Korean specific ingredient trends, the ferments are probably my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I love them. I love fermented products. If you give me a product and I'm not interested in it, and then you tell me that it's fermented, I will pour it on myself. It's, you know, the fermented ingredients tend to be plant matter, or sometimes it's just, you know, sort of a yeast-based ferment. But in general, the idea is that they're providing additional moisture. In the cases of some of the more plant-based ferments, the bacterial ferment, you know, those really operate on the idea that you're getting sort of a better delivery system for the antioxidants in those things, and that as a byproduct of the fermentation process, it creates new enzymes that have skin benefits. So it's really interesting process all around, and the products that you get don't smell like fermented garbage like you might imagine when you hear ferment, it doesn't smell like pickles or anything. And actually, most of them smell really amazing, and they feel really luxurious. So don't be afraid to try the ferments.
Don't be afraid.
That's what we should have subtitled the book. Don't be afraid.
Right, exactly.
Korean beauty. Don't be afraid.
No.
I promise it's okay, guys.
Now, Coco, you're an esthetician.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about how important it is, you know, because the people that are listening, they're going to go out and buy your book and they want to try some products. And I know the first thing we mentioned is, you know, knowing your skin type. Talk about how important that is in regards to choosing products.
Oh, it's very
and knowing
important.
How to address your skin.
I've had people come to me and say, like, oh, I have really, really dry skin. And I look at it and I'm like, no, actually, your skin is oily, but it's congested. And you have this buildup of, like, dead skin that's holding everything in. And those flakes you think you see are actually just dead skin. And you really need a good BHA/AHA product.
Mm-hmm.
So it's everything in terms of that. And if you're not sure, even if you get the book and you're not sure, go ahead and visit an esthetician. Have them write out your prescription of what your skin type is. You don't have to buy any products from them. Just go and get like a little diagnostic thing done and find out what your skin type is because that's extremely
mm-hmm.
important. If not, probably the most important thing to do before you start your skincare journey. You really need to figure out what kind of skin you have. You need to take stock of what exactly you want to treat. And then from there, it's fairly easy to find the products to do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then we talked about, excuse me, sun protection. Would you say that that's necessary, or, you know, having a product with the sun protection in it, or buying just a sunscreen, a standalone sunscreen?
Oh, no, no, no. You definitely need a dedicated standalone sunscreen. And I would say that everybody, I don't care how much melanin is in your skin, everybody needs a dedicated sunscreen. And especially these days, like, we're getting all this nasty UVA, UVB rays. Like, we don't have the same kind of protection on this earth that we used to have. And we all need that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually a skin cancer survivor myself. I had skin cancer removed from the top of my ears, which is something you would never think about. But it was from me growing up in the South, you know, with my hair in a ponytail. I developed skin cancer on the top of my ears. So, I mean, we really, if I could drive anything home, it would be please wear a sunblock. Please wear sun protection. It's not just for when you're, you know, going to the beach. It's not just for summer. It's for cloudy days. It's for every day. Everybody needs it.
Absolutely. And I would add to that, if that health scare isn't enough for you, which it should be, I always say that sunscreen is the most effective anti-ager you can get. It's better than any other anti-aging ingredient on the market.
Right.
You know, the sun ages you quickly, and if you deep down inside, all you want is to freeze your face in time, sunscreen is the thing that's going to do that for you.
So true. And Carrie jumped on the sunscreen bandwagon way before I did. Carrie and I are the same age. Carrie looks a full 10 to 15 years younger than I do. Like, we're the perfect example of, please, God, put your sunblock on. Like, I have paid for the sins of my youth right now in terms of sun damage, and there's really not a lot you can do about it unless you're willing to get laser resurfacing and injectables and facelifts and all manner of nasty stuff. So please take care of
it. Coco looks like a young, beautiful princess. Don't let her make it sound like she doesn't.
But Carrie is a vampire. Carrie has not aged ever. Carrie showed me a picture of her in middle school, and she still looks the same. Like, it's disgusting. I'm so disgusted. It's wonderful.
Now, if you're getting a standalone sunscreen, it should have an SPF of what?
The higher, the better. I personally, I don't get out of bed for anything less than SPF 50. You could probably get away with 30, but just the higher the better, you know. And, you know, SPF is a measurement that it's the only real measurement we use in the U.S., which I find interesting because SPF really only protects against UVB rays, which are the rays that cause sunburn. And obviously sunburn is bad, but UVA rays are the ones that you want to watch out for. And for whatever reason, we don't have a labeling requirement in the U.S. to tell you exactly how much UVA protection a sunscreen provides. However, in Korea, Japan, Europe, really everywhere else in the world, that is a required part of the labeling on a sunscreen, is it needs to tell you the SPF, which is the UVB protection, and then also has to tell you the UVA. Now, different countries display that in different ways, but in Korea, what you see a lot is you'll see the letters PA, and they'll either be a 1+, 2+, or 3+. So I would say as long as the sunscreen you're getting is at least a PA++, you're pretty good. If you even wanted to branch out and get some Japanese sunscreens, they actually go up to 4+. Just as the higher the SPF, the better. I would say even more important is the higher number of pluses, the better. Because those UVA rays, those are the rays that really get down under your skin and they age you. And those are also the rays that that cause cancer. UVA protection is, that's what you want.
Yeah. And anyone who thinks they're getting enough sun protection by having, like, an SPF whatever, it doesn't even matter. It could be a SPF 50. But if you think you're getting sun protection from, like, your foundation or your moisturizer, you are not. You're not. You just face facts. You're not. Because you need so much more product than what you're going to be using in a makeup or a moisturizer. Like, you need a fat cherry of, like, sunblock.
Yeah, fat cherry is a good size. It's like, you know, that you see a lot of information from, you know, the different Cancer Foundation recommendations about how much you need on your face. But the estimate tends to be somewhere between a quarter teaspoon and a half teaspoon, which is actually way more than it sounds like. If you actually get a measuring spoon and put your sunscreen in there, even a quarter teaspoon, I think you would be amazed at how much that actually is. But that's how much you need in order to actually get the sun protection that's advertised on the label. So if you're putting on less than that, you're not actually getting the SPF 50. You're getting, you're getting less than that. And the way it goes down tends to be exponential. So it's not like you're going down and you're just getting SPF 45. You know, the amount of protection you're getting when you don't put enough sunscreen, tends to be minuscule compared to what you would be getting if you were actually wearing the amount you're supposed to be. But most, you know, people in their right minds aren't going to be putting on a quarter teaspoon of foundation unless they're going on stage or something. And you know, you're not going to be putting that much on your skin. So even if your foundation says it's SPF 50, then you still would have to put on a quarter teaspoon of foundation to get that SPF 50 protection. And you're not going to do that. And I think for most people are probably not putting on a quarter teaspoon of their SPF moisturizer either. I probably would because I am a moisturizer abuser, but I tend to buy moisturizers that don't have sunscreen in them because, I know that I'm wearing a standalone one.
Right. Any favorite Korean standalone SPF?
The good old one I mentioned earlier, which is the, it's the physical sunscreen, and it's called Mild Protect Natural Filter Sun Cream. That's a really excellent one. And then Misha makes a few different ones that I like, but, all of the ones that I've tried, all of the Misha sun milks I've tried, I like, and that one's really easy.
Yeah. I like the waterproof sun milk by Misha, the SPF 50 waterproof sun milk. That one's a good one.
Yeah, it's a really good one.
Now, ladies,
I was just saying there's one more. There's one by Innisfree, and it's called the Eco Safety Perfect Sunblock SPA 50 or SPF 50, and I find that one's really good for skin that's easily irritated. It's a very mild one.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't stink. It smells nice.
I am on W2 Beauty right now, and I'm looking for a really good essence. Do you have any advice on the brand that I should be looking at?
That's difficult. You know, most of the brands have at least a couple of products that I really like from them. Some brands have more products than I like more than others. So I guess I would say it really depends on kind of what you want from your essence. I think that Vanilico actually makes some really good essences that fit a good variety of skin types, and they're at an accessible price point. I think Innisfree is actually another great brand that makes essences and also is a really accessible price point. So if you were going to go for mass market brands, I would go for one of those two. Good All makes good stuff too. And then for, you know, if you wanted to spend a little more, you wanted to get more of a luxury brand, I would start looking at the Laneige is a really good one. What's another?
The Soul for Sue. Laneige has a Time Freeze essence.
They do. And Laneige, interestingly, is actually carried at Target in the U.S. They just started carrying it. Is it last year or is it 2014? It might have been 2014. But I know the Laneige here carries it, and I'm in North Carolina. I'm not in, like, a crazy metropolitan area. So if you live near a Target, there's a good chance you can just walk in the store and look at the Laneige product. And I've heard a rumor that they are now carrying Good All as well. So your Target might be a good place to go if you just really want to go browse and look at products in person.
Yeah, another, I'd say another two good recommendations for high-end products, like if you really want to get fancy, is the Soules Huasu.
Yeah.
They have a really good serum, but, I mean, it is pricey. It's very pricey, but it is also really good. And Soum 37 is another one. They have a lot of really good products.
Yeah, those are like the creme de la creme.
Mm-hmm.
The Sub 37 and Soules Huasu are like...
Yeah.
They're it.
But
they're
again,
the Mecca.
But like the lower end mass market brands, like the Vanilla Co and the Innisfree, they still have excellent formulations. Like you're not going to be disappointed.
Yeah, a mass market brand there tends to be in the skincare realm. It tends to be a little higher quality than you would get in a drugstore brand here. You know, and I'm not saying that's true for all drugstore brands here, because I do think we have some good ones. But, you know, it's a different market, and I think that the way our drugstore brands are set up and the way they're marketed and even the way they're manufactured and, you know, sort of the minimum that a product has to do to be successful here just wouldn't cut it in a market that's as competitive as the market you see in South Korea. So, you know, those mass market brands that are at those accessible price points are going to be already going to be a little bit above what you would be using here from a drugstore, even though they're a similar price point in many cases.
Right. Ooh, I'm on W2 also, and I just saw that Miss Flower and Mr. Honey Essence by Vanilla Co., and I just remembered how much I loved it.
Yeah, that one's a really good one. That's a good starter one.
I need to reorder that. I wouldn't mind putting that on my face again.
What's that again? What's a good starter one?
It's a Vanilla Co. Miss Flower and Mr. Honey Essence. It's an essence oil. So
Vanilla Co.
I really liked that one, though. That was a good one, and it's under $40, so.
Yeah, that is a really good one. And it's free green tea one is a really good one, too.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. I'm not like having a trip down memory lane right now, all these things.
I know.
Right. That's what it feels
like. Like looking at a high school yearbook, like, oh, you used to be cute. You still look good.
So, ladies, before we leave, tell us, each of you, tell us a little bit about your blogs.
Okay. My blog is Skin and Tonic. I blog about skincare, you know, for the most part, you know, what I talk about are products from all over the world, but I have a pretty heavy lean towards Korean products because that's most of what I use. But, you know, I like to talk about, you know, what's in them, why they did or didn't work. I always try a product for a minimum of 4 weeks before I write any reviews so I know if they're actually effective. So it's none of this, you know, I used it for 2 days and it didn't do anything.
Right.
You know, and sometimes I like to share skincare routines. It's in a little bit of a hiatus right now, but I will be moving to a microblogging platform on Instagram pretty soon. So I would highly recommend following me on Instagram because you'll be seeing a lot of new content there in the coming weeks.
Okay. And my blog is The Beauty Wolf, and it's crazy. I'm just joking. It has a little different aesthetic than a lot of other beauty blogs. I don't know if you've been on it, but I do original artwork for all of my reviews. And I've always written this blog as if I was talking to my best friend, and I only write about products that I recommend. So I don't really write about the products that I haven't been impressed with or ones that I didn't like. So I only highlight the products that I would straight up recommend to, like, my real-life best friend. So I talk about, like, all the treasures I've found and all the things I love. And also follow me on Instagram at The Beauty Wolf because, again, like Carrie, I'm a little more active there than on my actual blog. Like it's just easier to snap a picture and be like, this is awesome, rather than sit down and write a, you know, 4-hour long review. So I'm pretty active over there as well.
So at The Beauty Wolf on Instagram, and is it at Skin and Tonic on Instagram?
It is.
Okay. All right, I'm just writing that down so I can make sure I'm following if I'm not already. And one question that we always ask all of our guests, I want each of you to tell us what beauty is to you.
beauty is to me, it's self-care. It's just, it's loving yourself enough to take care of yourself and doing right by yourself. That's what beauty is to me.
Love it.
That's a good one. Beauty for me, I think, is about being the best version of yourself. So I don't think it's about trying to achieve some, you know, unattainable, unrealistic goal. I think it's about being the absolute best, healthiest version of yourself you can be, and that's inside and out.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with both of those. So what's next for the two of you? Any more books down the road?
Oh, Lord.
That was a lot, wasn't it? The first book.
Oh, man. Writing a book is really stressful. Everything about it is stressful. And as happy as we are with the end product and as proud of it as we are, I have said it's going to be a long time before I write another book. I told a friend of mine that if he even sees me writing a list that looks like it's getting too long, to stop me, because I just don't want to be writing anything that's anything that's becoming a book. I think what's next for me in the beauty world, I think, is going to be really more of a focus on, doing the microblogging, because it's just, for me, it's more manageable with my lifestyle. I have a non-beauty related business that I started last year that's really taken off, and so I spend a lot of my time now, really working on that. But, you know, I love beauty blogging, and I love interacting with that community, and I love specifically the communities that's on Twitter and that's on Instagram. So I'm going to be trying something new and, seeing what it's going to be like to just have those be my sole platform. See how it goes.
Nice.
And same for me. I'm going to continue on with my blog. Carrie and I are actually starting a little website of our own called carrieandcoco.com, but it's not going to be anything like our regular blogs. It's going to be more like a shopping resource. So we can direct you towards, places to pick up products, like just letting you know what's new out, like maybe some little product roundups and little recommendations, but nothing serious, just very light, very fun.
Yeah, great. Nice. For reading after you've just read a bunch of really depressing news articles, you can go there and read something fun and uplifting.
That sounds great. Can't wait for that to be up and running. But I'm gonna try out some of these products and see what I'm.
Please do.
Yeah, let us know what you think.
Absolutely, I can't wait to. I'm gonna take it slow though. I heard what you all said, so I'm gonna take it slow. Do a few at a time and give it some time. Before just jumping up and buying a couple other things. But I'm addicted to serums, so I think that's where I'm gonna start.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're going to love it. You're going to love it.
Yeah, that's where I'm going to start. I can't wait, though. See, you got me wanting to order something tonight.
I know. And you're going to do the thing. You're going to try to order all the things. Resist the temptation. Uh-huh.
And anxiously wait for my package.
Yes, and that's how you know then you're one of us.
Right. So that's what I'm going to be doing. Thank you so much, ladies. I really appreciate it. I enjoyed this conversation. But this is not the last you guys are going to hear from us. So just be on the watch out. But I'm anxiously waiting to start my little Korean beauty skincare routine. And I don't care how many steps it takes, I'm going to get there.
Good. Good.
Amazing.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. This was really a blast. It was amazing. Thank you.
Absolutely. So we'll definitely be in touch, okay?
All right, perfect. Thank you.
All right. Good night, ladies. Have a great night. And I thank you guys for tuning in tonight. We'll be back next week, same time, for another great hour of beauty fun and education and inspiration. stay tuned to our Facebook pages where we'll make announcements about what's coming up next. All right? So everyone have a wonderful night and have a beautiful and blessed week. Good night, everybody.
Good night.